Welcome to the Obesity Medicine Podcast with your host, Dr. Matea Rentilla, board certified in internal medicine and obesity medicine. Here, we talk about a path to metabolic health, and we have real conversations about chronic weight management and living a full life. Just a reminder, I am a physician, but I'm not your physician. So everything that's on this podcast is for informational purposes, but please go talk to your doctor about what's right for you. There is no medical advice being given on this podcast. Welcome back to another episode of the podcast. I have a really, really exciting treat for you this week. I am releasing a little mini series, and it's not all me talking. One of the episodes will be, but the rest of them, there are three episodes that have been absolutely amazing that Allie Novitsky, she is an obesity medicine board certified physician, but she has practiced for years now with helping people with their fitness and their nutrition and their mental, emotional health. She really packages it all together nicely, but she is extremely knowledgeable, takes a very holistic approach to this, has absolutely amazing advice that is so applicable for how to build muscle, how to maintain muscle. What are some protein goals? How can you even start resistance training? These were topics that I think are so crucial for my audience. I personally asked her. There was an interview a few weeks ago that we did. And then when I heard these episodes, I said, hey, can we do a crossover podcast episode where I bring yours onto mine just so that people can hear this? Because it is such valuable information. And I will leave below every single episode the link for her podcast. I strongly recommend that you go subscribe to her. Go back and listen to previous episodes. I will tell you, her podcast episodes, some of them, I mean, all of them are amazing, but some are so great that I personally include these in the treatment plans for my patients. Often after my visits, I'll send a little summary, a little message to my patient, and there will be a certain podcast episode that I think they really need to hear. Different things resonate with different people. And she often is someone where I literally take the direct link to that episode and I'll say, hey, listen to this one. What I want to share with you in this mini series, it is going to be her episodes on how to increase protein and what amounts likely would be good for you. There is so much whipping around on this, and she just makes it really simple, easy, and basic. Remember, these are always rough guidelines, but how to get more protein. She will walk you through what are some of the home scales that actually do body composition testing. Are they accurate? How can you use it? Such good information. And then also how to achieve optimal health with learning how to start to do resistance training, strength training, how to bring that in. These are things that I find routinely people do not understand any of these concepts enough. So I'm so happy to share those three episodes. And then the fourth one that you're going to get here, it's what your obesity medicine doctor wants you to know about GLP-1 agonists. And that is when I came on her podcast. So we are going to release all four of these episodes today. I hope you enjoy this. I'm putting the same intro on every single one. So if you're listening to the next few in the series, just hit the little fast forward to get past this section so you can hear all the great things she says. Again, can't recommend her podcast enough. I learn so much from her, and she just has a different focus. And so I think you're going to learn so much. Let me know your thoughts if you're loving this podcast. I strongly want to recommend that you not only follow her, but also leave a review for mine so that we can make sure to get other great content out like this in the future.
Well, hello there. I'm so happy to be back this week. Gosh, it's been such a good week. We had so many things really starting to fall into place. And so you may not have heard yet. However, our Fit Woman Collective, this is a program where we start creating the spaces that we custom fit into. We don't try to cram ourselves into spaces that we no longer belong. And this is really becoming the most authentic version of ourselves in mind and body. The program is now enrolling. And the beautiful thing is that this program is open to all women who are high performers. So the idea is a job title does not define whether or not you may fit into this program. And what I can tell you is that the program offers some amazing things. We have a very comprehensive onboarding program to help you understand what it means to be your fit woman. We have amazing 30-minute mind-body workouts. We have yoga. We have meditation. We have new monthly content. We have a member discussion board. And the beautiful thing ready for this because I'm super pumped. We are offering this complete optimal health program for $59 a month. Yeah, pretty darn amazing. So tell everyone, because it is amazing. And also, if you decide that you have too much going on and it's not a fit, you can cancel at any time. So you really have nothing to lose here. You can find out more with the link in our show notes, and you can actually go ahead and you can enroll and join us. All right, my friends. So today we're going to be talking all about protein. Yes, that's right. Now, why are we talking about protein? Well, I have to say that we all hear that protein is good. However, I think that there's a lot of limiting beliefs around protein, and I think that there's a lot of confusion around protein. I can tell you, for all of the macronutrients that I talk about, protein typically tends to be the one that is very, very, very confusing for many people. We tend to get really bogged down into the details. We get bogged down into, well, what actually makes up a serving of protein? And, well, what if I'm a vegetarian? Can I actually get protein? And how much protein? Isn't too much protein hard on your kidneys? And maybe some of us even believe that we're already getting enough protein. And then we go ahead and do a little thing called a nutrition audit, where we track the food we're eating for an entire week. And we see that we're way below the recommendation. Now, here's the other issue. If we look at the Dietary Association guidelines, 15% of your daily calories as protein is considered adequate. In the obesity medicine world, that is not adequate. I can tell you, based on the percentages that are offered, it's interesting that our country is suffering an obesity epidemic. So what I want to tell you today is that protein is going to be super important no matter what your goal is. And we're going to talk all about one of the most important things that we all can be doing right now is making muscle, building muscle, or making muscle. So this is how you have to think about it. For years and years and years, all we've thought about is fat loss, weight loss. How often has anybody said to us, listen, now is the time we're going to start building some muscle? By the age of 30, as women, we start losing muscle mass at a rate of about 1-3% per year. Do the math. By the time you're 80, it's not looking so good. So the way that we're approaching today in terms of what we're talking about for protein is the very specific goal on why it's important, how we can overcome the limiting beliefs around protein, how we can make it less confusing, how we can go ahead and really optimize our body composition just with this protein strategy, how eating adequate protein will actually help you as you pursue movement in your life. And then also kind of the nitty gritty and some of the really kind of conflicting advice you'll see out there. A lot of it has to do with, you know, what type of protein is the best. I mean, if you actually go ahead and look for every statement you see out there that's saying that one way of protein eating is the best, you'll find 10 more to prove that it's not. So at the end of the day, how I like to approach everything nutrition is that everything is welcome, everything in moderation. And the idea is that you have to find what's going to work for you. So we're going to go through it all today. So get your pen and paper out if you need to take notes, because we're going all in. The other thing I want to mention is I love meat. I do. And I will tell you that most of my protein does not come from meat. Most of my protein comes from vegetarian sources. And that's not because I believe it's necessarily healthier. I mean, the plant-based, I get the movement. I get the idea. I'm not saying in general that I think it's healthier. What I'll tell you is there's a lot of providers out there that really believe that some form of meat is going to give more vibrant energy. So I'm just saying where I sit on all of this is that all proteins are welcome, and it's up to the individual to decide what type of protein serves you best. How do you digest it? How's your energy with it? What's your satiety like with it? Okay, so what I'd recommend from here on out, if you're seeing all these different things out there in the media where somebody is promoting a very specific type of protein, and this is the only way that you can get your protein, and this is the best way, and if you eat meat, you're going to get all these bad things. Don't listen to it, okay? Follow the rule of what serves your body best, okay? And that also is going to really kind of force you, to be honest, into paying attention to your body more, which is really going to kind of hone in that mindfulness component. And we know above all else, if we can be more mindful, we're going to be more emotionally regulated. Okay. So let's talk about why protein is a powerhouse. Let's talk about that first. Okay. So protein is a building block to pretty much everything in our body, everything. Okay. So protein, when we eat the protein, essentially it creates a flow of amino acids throughout our system. Okay. When we talk about our hunger, there's a hormone. It's called ghrelin. Ghrelin is your hunger hormone. Protein is essentially the most significant macronutrient that's actually going to normalize that ghrelin level. So if you actually go ahead and you are eating consistent, and this is the key, consistent amounts of adequate protein, you're going to keep that ghrelin level under control. And how is that going to help? It's going to allow you to tap into your natural satiety. This is very, very important. Okay. So what we want to have happen is we want you to be in charge of when you eat. So one of my first principles, even in the new Fit Woman Collective program, is all about, okay, get hungry first. When we're normalizing ghrelin levels, and the way that we can do this again is with eating consistent, adequate protein, we're going to have a much easier time doing this. Okay. So number one, building blocks. Number two, ghrelin. Number three, and my most favorite, maintaining muscle mass and gaining muscle mass. Okay. So individuals that are eating adequate protein during a fat loss phase will preserve their muscle mass way more significantly than somebody who is not optimizing their protein. Somebody who is not optimizing their protein can lose well over 10% of muscle mass during a fat loss phase. Okay. And that would be if they're strength training. Okay. So it goes up way higher. It goes up to almost 20% of muscle loss if somebody is not eating adequate protein and is not doing strength training during a fat loss phase. And I have to tell you, my work for the past 7 years has been completely on body composition. I don't care what you weigh. I really don't care what you weigh. But what I do care is how much muscle you have in relation to your body fat. Okay, this has nothing to do with a BMI number. This has nothing to do with a weight. This has everything to do with how much muscle are you carrying around? Because ultimately, if we can be honest, if we want to age in a way where we're going to be independent adults, we're carrying our groceries when we're 90, we have to maintain our muscle mass. Protein is, I would say, half of the equation in being able to do it. Okay. So let me just reference back when we talk about the Dietary Association guidelines. And like I said, 15% is what they're saying is adequate. Typically, my recommendation for most individuals is almost double that, more. So I'm aiming probably for about 35%. And the really cool thing about this is that is not considered an overwhelmingly high protein diet at all. Okay. So instead of getting confused, so one of the confusing things is I'll have people come to me and say, well, everybody told me that I should eat 1 gram of protein per pound of body weight. Well, if you're weighing, you know, 300 pounds, 300 grams of protein, that is going to be a lot of protein. Okay. So that's not how I'm recommending this. And I'm going to explain a very simplistic way to do it. On the other hand, right, let's say that we have somebody that comes in and they weigh 80 pounds. Okay. They need more protein than that. Actually, they probably need even more protein because we probably have to build more muscle on them. Okay. So all this to say that protein is a builder. It's a building block. We need to make sure that your levels are adequate so that you can either maintain muscle mass, even if you're not doing fat loss. And let's say you are on a fat loss regimen. We definitely need to make sure you have protein. Let's add in, what if you're on a weight loss medication? Let's just say, for example, a GLP-1 agonist. Well, remember, GLP-1 agonists are going to create a greater sense of satiety. They slow down gastric emptying. You know, that's one of the biggest ways that they do it. They also really affect the way that we have hunger signaling in our brain. So if you have decreased food desire and also decreased hunger, your tendency to reach for a bunch of protein is not going to really be what you want to do. Because in general, it's hard to get people to eat protein. It's not going to be the thing that really perks up their desire as much. And so then you tell them, okay, and here's the number, here's the amount you have to eat. and they're already not hungry because of the medication, what happens is they will be more prone to definitely lose muscle mass. And so I just want to reiterate, it's not the medication. It's not that the GLP-1 agonist, and I'm using this as an example. There are many other weight loss medications, by the way. I'm talking about the GLP-1s just because historically they're noted to very much reduce the food chatter and also food desire and also appetite. We have to be really on GLP-1 agonist users to help them get that protein in. It will be very protective. And then what happens is muscle loss is not going to be a problem. And so in my practice, so I perform all the coaching services. So nutrition, exercise, mindset work. I don't prescribe medications because I operate in the coaching realm. My colleagues in obesity medicine that do prescribe medications have clients that potentially come to me to help with the other areas. Okay. So the exercise, the nutrition, and also the mindset. My clients do not lose muscle. So my clients on GLP-1 agonists, if they are following the strength training recommendation and also the protein recommendation, do not lose muscle mass. In fact, most of my individuals gain muscle mass. And that has everything to do with most of my clients are going to be a mesomorph endomorph body type combination. And it makes sense. A mesomorph endomorph body type combination is usually one that gains fat a little bit easier. So wouldn't you know that that's typically going to be somebody who might want to come and work with me to help with their body composition. Okay. So I want you to keep these things in mind. Okay. So protein. So let's go ahead and continue to talk about how we can keep this really simple. Okay. Now in some of my more advanced programs, yeah, I might be calculating your macros. I might be giving you very specific amounts of this is how much protein to lose body fat. This is how much protein to gain muscle mass. And then I'm following your in-body scans pretty closely. Yes, that's all there. But I also want to say that I can give you one recommendation today that's going to help you at least maintain your muscle mass. Okay. So we're going to dive into that. Here's the recommendation for women: 3 servings of protein a day. What's a serving? A serving is about 30 grams of protein, about the size of your palm, okay, in general. And that is going to be something you're going to want to hit 3 times a day, which is going to be about 90 grams of protein a day. So what I typically find is that for women, if we're kind of hovering around the 100 grams of protein per day mark, now this is for somebody that wants to maintain muscle, okay, during just a regular phase of life or also maybe a fat loss phase, that will be adequate. If you're trying to add muscle, that will not be enough. Typically, I typically do not see women gaining a lot of muscle at just 100 grams of protein. Men, 4 servings per day in general, on average. Okay. So that's about 120 grams per day. These are averages. Okay. Again, I consider 1 serving of protein about 30 grams. And the other thing to think about is if you're eating, you know, powders or whatever you're eating, you can look on the package to see. And then also if it's a animal source protein about the size of your hand, we're going to talk today more about vegetarian proteins because I actually love to talk about all different categories of protein because you can get protein from animal sources. You can get protein from dairy sources. So we'll just say that that's kind of a subset of animal sources. You can get protein from nuts. Okay. However, here's the caveat with nuts: higher fat. You can get protein from beans and other plant-based, caveat, higher carbs. So we're going to break that down today so you have a really clear understanding of how you can start to approach this process to find the protein that's going to work for you. And I'm going to give you a whole bunch of examples and all those different things. So right now in your mind, identify, you're identifying the things that right now maybe you're eating, right? So maybe already you do have a system where you're eating about 3 servings of protein a day if you're a woman and about 4 if you're a man. But if I actually asked you to give me a nutrition audit, what I will tell you is you're probably running a little bit low. Unless somebody has specifically counseled you on this, I'm going to guess that you are. What I will tell you is that if you are in a fat loss phase right now and your protein is lacking, the minute you bump your protein, you will see more fat loss. I'm telling you that right now. I'm not making this up. It's real. Okay. So let me talk a little bit about that. Okay. So in general, when we talk about insulin response, okay, so insulin is the hormone that gets released. It's made in the pancreas. It gets released when we have an inflection upward of our blood sugar. So our blood sugar goes up because we just ate something. And our insulin comes in to normalize that blood sugar in a way that's going to be physiologically stable for us. Okay. So the higher the glycemic load that you eat, the more insulin we need. All right. Now, what happens with age and over time and other things is that we stop responding to insulin. So we need more insulin to take care of the same amount of glycemic load over time. When we have these higher levels of insulin, we develop, in that scenario I just talked about, you need more of it. This is called insulin resistance. So why is this a problem? Well, insulin is an anabolic hormone, meaning it wants to make your body grow. Okay. So insulin is actually very important for muscle growth. That's why you'll see bodybuilders after they lift, they're going to hit themselves with some massive protein and massive amount of simple sugars. They want to load those muscles in, right? Because insulin, right, pushes substrate into our cells. So after you lift, your body's super primed to take that all in. So a strategy for somebody who's muscle building would be they'd want a little bit of extra insulin to pump everything back into the muscle. However, most of us are not bodybuilders, okay? So for us, right, the idea is that if we have excess insulin, it's going to actually tell our body to turn on fat storage, okay? So just keep that in mind as we continue to roll. Protein has a much lower glycemic index than most carbohydrates, meaning if you eat protein, your blood sugar is going to respond in a less, you know, it's not going to increase as much based on just the protein. Okay. Let's say you ate carbohydrates alone. And by the way, I love carbohydrates and I'm not knocking them because they're very important. Okay. So let's say you just eat carbohydrates. Well, in general, carbohydrates, and you know, carbohydrates can be simple, complex. They can be fruits, veggies. They can be straight sugar. They can be all the different things. Could have a little bit of an increased glycemic load. And so your blood sugar is going to be a little bit higher with straight carbohydrates. Okay. Let's say you just eat straight fat. So the keto diet became very, very popular. Why? Because the theory is that you're not releasing insulin. The theory is that it's not doing anything to your blood sugar. So you need very minimal amount of insulin to counteract that fat intake. The issue is it's extremely easy to overeat fat. So you see people coming in saying, I'm not eating any carbs. I'm not eating any protein barely. 20% protein. I'm keto, but I'm not losing anything. So a lot of people who have insulin resistance, it's very hard for them to actually get into ketosis. And then all they're eating is fat. And again, very calorie dense. So they're not eating in a deficit and they're not losing fat and they don't understand. Okay. What it comes down to for fat loss is going to be a calorie deficit. Okay. But let me get back to the macronutrients and impact on blood sugar. Okay. So why are they all important? Well, the protein remembers satiety. Fat also helps with satiety. Carbohydrates, they create bulk kind of in the meal. When we combine protein, carbohydrates, and fat in a way that's balanced, it's going to have very minimal impact on our blood sugar. So the best thing to do is, for example, if you're going to eat an apple, your blood sugar is going to be highly impacted versus if you eat an apple and a string cheese together. Okay. So the idea is that protein does a very nice job of actually blunting the blood sugar from elevating with a meal. So including protein in your meal is going to really help with that. Now, what about somebody who doesn't eat any carbohydrates and they don't eat any fat and they eat tons of protein? Well, protein can actually start to mimic carbohydrates when eaten in excess. So the solution is not to just only eat protein and a ton of it. Okay. It's about figuring out balanced nutrition. Okay. So again, the protein component, it's going to provide satiety. It's going to provide muscle maintenance. It's going to provide lower impact on our blood sugar. It's going to do so many great things for us. Okay. So let's move on. So now we kind of get into different types of protein. So we talk about animal protein, animal-based. So this can be pork, chicken, seafood, you know, all the different fish, scallops, shrimp. It can be oysters, clams. I mean, it can be, but let's go through them all. Like pork loin, pork chop, Angus beef, flat iron steak. Like there's, right, filet, right? So just you name it. So there's tons of different sources of animal proteins. Okay. So with that being said, Okay. Some animal sources have a higher fat content. Some have a lower fat content. You know, what I say at the end of the day is I typically like to recommend kind of a leaner source of protein so that you have room to add fat to it with other yummy things in your nutrition. See, nutrition isn't about just kind of eating really, really things that you don't like. That sounded weird. Really, really things that you don't like. It's not about eating things that you think you should eat. It's about really finding the satisfaction in your meal. So I prefer to go a little lower, like a lower fat protein source, not a lot of visible fat. So then I can add some avocado, some, you know, maybe some sour cream if I'm doing a Mexican type thing. So just keep that in mind. Okay. So animal sources of protein. Then we have our, and by the way, animal sources of protein, you know, a palm's 30 grams of protein, maybe a couple grams of fat, no carbs. Okay. So with straight kind of protein in that way, you're really kind of eliminating excess carbs. Not that carbs are a bad thing. We're going to talk about this though, because it is important as it relates to kind of all the things we talked about with blood sugar and whatnot. Okay. So then you have your dairy products. So your Greek yogurts, as long as they're lower in sugar, you're going to do really well there. Fairlife milk, huge fan, has about 13 grams of protein per cup. You know, it's a really, really good source. And then you can have your anything else like string cheese. So low fat string cheese, if you eat two of them, you get about 12 grams of protein. So there's definitely different ways to do it amongst the dairy sources. Okay. Then we move into the vegetarian sources. Now, vegetarian sources, right? Vegetarians, listen, eat up. Okay. Here's what you have to know. You can get your protein from all the things, beans, right? Lentils, right? All the different types of things, you know, pea protein powder is really my go-to for the vegetarian kind of protein powder. If you're not vegetarian, whey protein does really well. So I find that whey protein powder and pea protein powder, you know, they're really going to be, you know, pretty amazing. They both have high levels of leucine. And we know that leucine, isoleucine, and valine are the three most important amino acids that are going to help with muscle maintenance and muscle gain. Okay. So I like the whey and I like the plant-based pea protein. Okay. Here's the thing about beans. Okay. So let's do a comparison. Let's use lentils. Lentils has one of the highest protein contents amongst the bean category and legumes. Okay. So let's say 1 cup of lentils is going to be about 300 calories with 18 grams of protein and 40 grams of carbs. So let's say that I tell you that you need 30 grams of protein for a serving. So we almost have to double the amount of lentils we're eating to get 30 grams of protein. So we would have to go to 2 cups of lentils, which would be a little over 30 grams of protein. It would be 80 grams of carbs. Okay. And it would be about, just under 600 calories. Okay. So for 36 about grams of protein and 80 grams of carbs in your vegetarian protein, let's say we took chicken and we ate 36 grams of protein in our chicken. You're looking at about 200 calories and no carbs. Okay. So is it a problem to rely only on beans? No, it isn't. It's just important to know the amounts, right? And if you are carb sensitive, then we're going to have to kind of work it in a way where, you know, maybe you're doing, you know, one serving of your lentils for 18 grams of protein at one meal and then other potential sources. For example, tempeh. Tempeh is a great source. Tempeh has a ton of protein. It has carbs, not quite as many as lentils. However, you know, it has a little bit of fat as well. It has a lot of fiber in it. So that's a really good counterpart and component. So the idea is that vegetarian proteins are wonderful and you can definitely do beans and peas. Just be mindful, right? Pea protein was what I was referring to, but you can do any of the legumes, any of the beans, all those things. Just be mindful that you are going to likely count it as a carb serving. So one of the protein strategies that I really use in terms of how do you start eyeballing balanced plates, I like to say 1 serving of protein to 1 serving of complex carbs. That's typically, I usually start people with a 1-to-1 ratio. So if you look at your plate and let's say you are having chicken and you balance that out with the same amount, a little bit less probably, of sweet potatoes, and then you have a bunch of veggies, because I do not count veggies in my programs. We just don't count them because eat as many as you possibly can. And then you add a bit of fat. That's a perfectly balanced plate. Okay. So The next piece is going to be your nuts for your protein. So the caveat with the nuts is that, for example, one serving of peanut butter, you might get, I don't know, 8 grams of protein, but you're going to get about 17 grams of fat, maybe less, but about that. So the issue with nuts being your source, your go-to for the protein, is that you got to kind of keep in mind that you might really be going up on your fat. So a lot of times people say, well, I'm really low carb and I only eat protein and fat, but then we're eating gobs of nuts, like handfuls of nuts. And the issue is that we're driving the fat up, which is so nutrient dense that we're not in a calorie deficit. And so we're not losing body fat. Okay. So thinking through kind of all the different ways to approach the protein, here's what it comes down to. So what proteins serve you best, just being informed, and then you monitor. So let's say you're eating lentils for all your protein. Don't do that, but let's say you were, okay? So let's say you're trying to get 100 grams of protein in straight lentils, okay? That's like 5 servings of lentils, okay? That's gonna be like 5 cups of lentils. I mean, you might actually lose weight because you might just sit on the, you might be in the bathroom for a very long time. Let's just put it that way. What I'm saying to that is you're going to be at about 200 grams of carbs. Not horrible, right? So again, when we think about what's right for you, it's about trying it and then monitoring it. So my ectomorph, my naturally thin body type, would do very well with a higher carbohydrate content. My mesoendomorphs, all right, they're going to do very well with adequate protein, adequate carbs, but the minute we start overdoing the carbs for more of that mesomorph, endomorph body type, we're going to have more difficulty with fat loss. Okay. So don't be afraid of any of the proteins. What I urge you to do is play around with what you love to eat and see what it would take for you to be able to get that adequate amount of protein. Let's talk about fasting quickly, because I know a lot of you out there may be doing some fasting. Fasting is not a problem as long as you can get your protein in. So how do we approach this? If you look at all the studies, they'll tell you that humans could absorb about 30 grams of protein at a time. I think it's much higher. So I think it's probably around 45 to 50 grams of protein per serving. I wouldn't go above that. That's going to be harder to really digest. So if you look at it this way, so let's say that you're a woman and you eat 2 45-gram servings of protein per day, lunch and dinner. You're going to hit your 100 pretty much, okay? Let's say that you like to fast and you get a little snacky in between those meals. Maybe you do something like, I don't know, 40, 40, and then maybe a 15-gram snack of protein in the middle there. Okay. And then for men, it's going to be about the same thing. So again, even for men, I don't like to go above 50 grams of protein per meal. So you can kind of adjust. So maybe for men, it would be 50 grams lunch, 50 grams dinner, 20 grams snack in between. And I have had my clients do this, and they have, my fasters have been very successful with this approach in terms of muscle maintenance and muscle building. Okay. So again, this protein, right, is really going to be the mainstay for the results that you get. So here's your steps. Here's your next steps. Become aware of how much protein you're currently getting in a day. The way that you can do this is you can go into a fitness nutrition tracker and track everything you're eating for 1 week. Divide that by 7. That's your average amount of protein you're eating per day. Remember, women, we want about 90 to 100. Men, we want 120 or a little bit above that minimum. That's for muscle maintenance. That is not for muscle gain. Okay. However, it's going to significantly help you in terms of reaching a more optimal body composition for yourself. Don't complicate things, okay? So if you're not getting quite 100 or 90, okay, and you're getting 80, great. You're putting the effort in. Just keep going, okay? Tracking the progress and monitoring. Are you seeing a difference? What does the food feel like in your body? Do you have more energy? Do you feel good? Or do you feel sluggish? I mean, that's a great indication, and I have a great story. I met a new friend who also happens to be a coach who was a vegetarian for years. And we hung out together for a few days in New York, and we go to dinner, and she says, you know what? I've been wanting to try meat again for a really long time. It's been about 15 years. I think I decided tonight that I'm not vegetarian anymore. And I'm not suggesting that you vegetarians out there are switching. Not. I'm just saying she chose for herself that that was her best decision. And she paid attention, and she says that she has felt better than she ever has because that kind of protein sits well with her. I'm not telling you that it's going to sit well with you. For her, it does. So remember the very first thing I said, this is all about you owning who you are and showing up for that. And then you can go ahead and create your custom plan for how you're going to go in and get that adequate protein. Okay, my friends, again, super excited. We have announced Fit Woman Collective. So we really embrace exercise. We embrace nutrition strategy. We provide all this amazing mindset work, yoga, meditation, all these amazing things. And again, we have an amazing offer going on right now. You can join $59 a month. And as we've always served physicians, this program is open to any high-performing woman who really identifies with our message in Fit Woman Collective. And you can go ahead and you can click the link in show notes. You can join us. And again, this program is really good for somebody who is on their journey and they want this to be long-term and sustainable. Long-term and sustainable results has everything to do with your why, understanding your why and committing to that why, committing to yourself and custom designing the fit that is necessary in your life, not trying to fit into a space that you no longer belong. All right, my friends, until next time, and we'll talk to you soon.